United States against Douglas is our next case for argument. Mr. Berman.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Morris Berman. I've been appointed to represent Roderick Douglas. I represented him in the District Court. And the single issue on this appeal is whether there was probable cause for the warrantless search of the sport utility vehicle that Mr. Douglas was driving on the interstate on November 24, 2001. The magistrate found that there was probable cause, and that report recommendation was adopted by the District Court. That order denying the motion to suppress is subject to de novo review. There's no deference owed to it. It's a finding of law, or at least mixed law and fact. There's really no substantial credibility questions or findings of fact involved. So there's no review for clear error here, but it is de novo review. The search was based entirely on the information provided by an informant, DJ, who, as the magistrate in his report and recommendation, had some substantial strikes against him in terms of his credibility. He termed him a marijuana-smoking ex-con drug dealer, not atypical in this type of case, but certainly someone to be viewed with a certain amount of skepticism. He was cutting a deal, and he was providing information, and part of the information he provided was about Mr. Douglas. And with respect to November 24, 2001, he provided information that he believed that Mr. Douglas was coming back with cocaine from Chicago. There were no monitored phone calls. The DEA wasn't listening in on any of those calls. And the DEA agent, when he was examined at the suppression hearing, indicated he had no information that the word cocaine was used in any of these telephone conversations that were ostensibly taking place between Douglas and this informant, who was known only by his nickname at the time, DJ. Actually, what he testified to was that Douglas supposedly told DJ that he wanted to get together with him, that things were looking good. The detail that corroborated this was fairly innocuous, that it was a sport utility vehicle that was registered to Douglas's mother, that he was driving it, and it was found at the toll booth. It was stopped on a so-called speeding violation. That is not urged by the government to be a separate basis for probable cause. So the detail provided here by the DJ fell far short of that detail in the cases relied upon by the government, the Walker case, the Ross case. It just did not provide that substantial chance that contraband was going to be in this sport utility vehicle. That's our argument. I welcome any questions the court has. I think I've set forth the authorities in the brief fairly well. Again, this is not a determination subject to some sort of special deference. It's not a search warrant case. Facts are quite clear, and we contend they did not provide that substantial chance of criminal activity. Unless the court has any questions.
What do you say about the corroboration by the control by?
The control, the magistrate certainly, and I acknowledged in my brief, that was a point in favor of DJ on the plus side of the ledger. But that control buy was at some point in November, in October. This stop and this warrantless search was in November. So it required a probability that the sport utility vehicle contained contraband in late November. What the informant told them in the control buy a month earlier might have provided probable cause to arrest back then. It may have, although I'm not conceding that, it may have provided probable cause to search the premises where the control buy took place. But it's sort of akin, although imperfectly akin, to a sort of staleness argument. There's a difference, obviously, between a probable cause to arrest and a probable cause to search. So was there probable cause for the search a month later? It adds somewhat to the reliability of DJ, but it isn't enough to show there's a substantial chance a month later this sport utility is going to have cocaine in it, given the lack of detail and the lack of corroboration for the November stop. I'm glad you asked that question. That's my response to it. Again, this falls far short of the detail and corroboration found in the other cases where probable cause.
When did they find out he gave a phony name?
I'm sorry?
When did they find out that he was using his brother's name?
Well,
is that before the search or after?
It was after that they really found it out, because I think as the report and recommendation
said that he was.
It's the report and recommendation.
No identification,
right.
No driver's license.
Right, right. And he has a twin brother, so he gave correct date of birth and correct physical descriptors. And the twin brother, Frederick, obviously matched. He had no other ID. The passenger corroborated that this was Fred Douglas.
But when did they
really know?
Know that his name was really Roderick or whatever it was.
They didn't really find that out until they booked him into the jail.
But they thought.
They thought he might be, and there was some testimony at the suppression hearing that he had radioed into dispatch. I think we've got Roderick here, but I think as the report and recommendation pointed out, they didn't really know. I think the magistrate termed it, you know, who was this guy?
Well, they knew that the information they had was that the driver was Roderick, correct?
The information they had was that the driver was Roderick.
The informant said Roderick Douglas is going to be driving this black Ford Explorer with drugs at this place at this time, so they stop it, and now he says, I have no identification, but my name is Frederick.
My name is Frederick. They also knew that he had a twin brother at the time of the stop. So they couldn't really confirm the ID one way or the other. They figured it was one of the two. But the ID really dovetailed into the whole traffic stop issue, and the government did not appeal from the magistrate's finding that did not provide a separate basis for the search.
What do you mean the government didn't appeal that? What is that?
Well, it didn't appeal from the report and recommendation. Didn't object to it,
well,
I guess
why
I should say.
They won, so.
True. But it really dropped out of this appeal as an issue of whether the traffic stop formed a separate basis. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Tarish.
Peter Jarosz for the United States from the Western District. Jeff Anderson handled the case below. I'm arguing here for Mr. Anderson. The simple question really is, was there probable cause based upon this informant? The informant was a proven, reliable informant with a past record. From September to November of 2001, they corroborated everything he said, the agents did. He made controlled buys. Based upon his testimony, they made seizures, and in fact, they ended up arresting a defendant that was ultimately indicted based upon his information. Right before the November 24th seizure, he told them about the bringing back Kilo from Chicago. They were able to corroborate the time of the arrival of the Ford Explorer, the fact that it was a Ford Explorer, the fact that the defendant would be driving it, and sure enough, it appeared. Based upon the totality of the informant's statements, coupled with his corroboration and his reliability, the government believes there was probable cause, as evidenced by the district court's ruling. Since that is the only issue before the court, the government urges the court here to affirm the district court's ruling. And unless there are any questions, I'll sit down at this point. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Berman? not much to rebut.
Only to point out, as I may have in my initial argument, that the testimony was that there was no mention of cocaine, that this was something that the informant DJ believed was going to be happening. The indictment that Mr. DeRose alluded to in his argument happened after November 24th of this Mr. Gonzalez. It was in December. Other than that, I would rely on my briefs and my initial argument. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate your willingness to take the appointment and the assistance you've been both to your client and the court. The case is taken under advisement.